Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone that is here this morning and thank the elders for asking me to come and take the place of Brother Melvin for the day. So hopefully what we go over today is something that's useful, beneficial to you. This is something that when I heard it, it had an impact on me. I thought maybe if I gave it to you, it might have an impact on you. So we're just going to ask or answer a couple of questions this morning. Just a fairly simple question. There was a crime committed a long time ago, and there are some clues to that crime. And we're going to go back and try to trace this crime and figure out all these clues, whether this incident even happened. And just some things that are in our culture, in the world today, that kind of points to this thing that happened and just gives you some insight on some things about God. So again, we're going to ask about a crime to figure out, we can find out who did it, when they did it, what all went on. So before we get to that, hopefully I don't offend anybody by saying this, but the majority of the TV shows are junk. There's only a couple of them that are any good. One of them that I like is CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. Pretty good show. They go from New York to Miami. They have all these different cities, all these different crimes. And if you've never seen the show, I'm going to try to describe what you normally have. They show you a crime. That takes about 5 minutes. They show you how they investigate the crime, how they look for clues. That takes a few minutes. At the end, they wrap everything up, and actually, they probably solve the crime in about 42 minutes if you take out all the commercials. And it normally goes something like this. They walk in, they see the room is in a wreck, things are in disarray. The normal police are walking around doing their thing. They leave, and then the CSI people show up, and one of them will spot something. Hey, look, there's an eyelash on the table. Pulls out his tweezers, picks up the eyelash, pulls a little bag out of his pocket, puts the eyelash in the baggie, takes it to the lab, they run it, they can find the DNA, and they say, this is usually before 30 minutes into the show, ran the DNA, that eyelash belongs to Mike Jones. So they tell the computer girl, hey, find out everything you can about Mike Jones. So they run his name, they know all his credit cards, they know where he lives, where he hangs out. Does he have a cell phone? Yeah, he has a cell phone, track it. They'll track it on the computer. Mike Jones is just two blocks down the street. And they go down the street two blocks, and Mike Jones is not there because he had his cell phone set up. He knows they're tracking him, and they find him by the end of the show. That's CSI, real life. There's an incident that happens. They say it on the news. Something happened somewhere. They tell you who did it or who they think did it. Somebody had a cut. They were involved in an incident. They got cut. There's a trail of blood where they went to their car. They lost their shoe in the pursuit. Six people have identified or given a description of a guy. Seven or eight people said he drove a blue Impala with the left taillight was out. And 6 weeks later, the police come out and say, we can't find him. Kind of real life. They've got blood, they've got all this evidence, but they seem to not be able to do it in real life. The TV shows, that always works. So what I'm going to do is go back to a crime that happened a long time ago. A couple of crimes we can look at, the Cain and Abel. There was the wickedness on the earth before God decided to destroy the world with the flood. But we're going to look at another crime. And it might not seem like a big crime to you, but we'll just look at this. Anybody think that they know what that's about? Tower of Babel. Why was that a crime? Well, let's just look and see what the Bible says about that. It says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. So we can see that they are in the midst of building this tower. And why were they building this tower? So They said, let us go, build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. So what was the problem with this tower? What was their crime? Did they make this tower to please God? Did they make this tower to worship God? Were they trying to get to God? Their reason, it says, let us make a name. For who? For themselves. So they're trying to make a name for themselves. So was God pleased with this effort? And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They all have one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So God says they have one language, they have one mind, one thought. There's nothing that they are not going to try to do. So God didn't like this. He went down and saw it and did not like it. He said, go down, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So they stopped building the city because the languages were confounded. They couldn't speak to one another. And if you ever dealt with a situation where you're at work or some situation where you're trying to help someone that speaks a different language? I went to Best Buy a few weeks ago, and I was waiting in line. There was a guy, I believe he was Middle Eastern, and it was a man and his two sons. The guy's trying to ring them out, and he says, hey, before you can use this credit card to swipe, I need some identification. And the guy said, I need for you to give me some identification before I can swipe. The guy said, and the guy was getting a little frustrated. He said, well, I need you to show me something so I can, you know, driver's license or something so I can swipe this card, get your ID. Still didn't get it. So he dug in his pocket and had a big wad of money. It was a couple $100 bills he threw at the guy. But there was a communication gap. They couldn't talk to each other, even for him to buy whatever he needed to buy. So if you can't even have that simple transaction with the language barrier, it's going to be pretty difficult to build a tower or to do anything significant if you can't speak. So that's what God decided to do. So obviously he wasn't happy with this, and he made that happen. Therefore, the name of it they called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So they called the place Babel because they were babbling to one another. They couldn't understand. They could not build this city, could not build this tower. So they all just dispersed. Everyone went their own way. So that is our crime scene. So people might say, well, it's in the Bible, and it's obvious that it happened. But there are some that still need more, still need a little bit more evidence. And I believe that God has somehow provided that. In the scripture reading we read in Acts, this is just to verify that, and if we even look today, there are different languages. And as was read this morning, a good reading this morning, you know, they all dwelt at Jerusalem. This was noise abroad. The people came together. And they were amazed and marveled and saying, are not these that speak, are they not all Galileans? But they all spoke different languages. And people get this confused, and they have churches now where they speak in tongues. And they babble and say things that nobody understands. That's not what was going on here. These men were speaking different languages that they had never learned. And if we continue on, we see there were Prometheans, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, all parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. So that's kind of a clue. There are different languages, and we can see that even today. There are different languages. That's one clue. But there is a huge clue found in a specific place. You might say, oh, it's Chicago, Memphis, somewhere in California. Nope. Nowhere in the United States do we find this clue. It's another place. Anybody know what that is? China. The clue is in China. So before we get to the clue, let's just talk a little bit about China. What's special about China? China is officially known as the People's Republic of China. Their national flag is red with five yellow stars, kind of what I've got depicted. That's kind of the shape of the country. The largest population in the world, 1.3 billion people in China. A lot of people. The estimated population of the U.S. is only 315 million. So China has four times as many people as we do in the United States. China's the third largest country in the world by area, followed only by Russia and Canada. So Russia's the biggest, Canada's the next, then China. The U.S. comes in fourth as far as land area, and we're third in population. China has the second largest economy, which means they build, sell, do all these things. Their economy is pretty robust. They're only second to the United States. So what does all that mean? There are many different languages spoken in China, including Mandarin, and I can't even say these other ones. A lot of different languages that are spoken in China. Still not the answer that we're looking for. We'll talk a little bit about this, what makes their language a little bit special, a little bit different from ours. So in Chinese, they have symbols, kind of like the Egyptians did. These symbols carry meanings and thoughts. So for us in the United States, we have 26 letters. Each letter represents a sound. When you put the letters in different combinations, those sounds make words. Words make sentences, and we communicate with each other. And that's how we work. That's how most languages work. There are a lot of languages, though, that don't necessarily work that way. Again, such as what we see in Egypt, the old hieroglyphics. Each symbol has a meaning, something special about it, that when you see it, it conveys a thought or an idea. The same goes for Chinese. All these things you see when you go to a Chinese restaurant, all the little star things and just looks like scribble that goes normally up and down, those are symbols that convey some thoughts, some meanings. And we even do that some today. You know, you see certain little things and you automatically know what that means. You know, the cross means first aid, the telephone means there's some type of phone system. If you see the man and the woman on a little blue thing, you know that's different restrooms. So we do have some of that today. These thoughts, these pictures convey thoughts and ideas. So we're going to look at some words in the Chinese language that give some thoughts and ideas. So the first word is beginning. See that little, there's a hash, there's another longer hash, and there's two things coming off the bottom. When the Chinese look at this, that little thing means the beginning. And you see in Genesis 1, God says, and he said, "Let us make man in our own image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. God, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. You might think that's not such a big deal. Now, when you look at that image that's for beginning, that's several things put together. So that symbol, those two hash marks, that means two. Plus these two things on the bottom means people. So when they look at that word beginning to them translates into two people. Interesting. Now, I'll tell you also, China has a lot of different languages, a lot of different religions. And the biggest problem with China, as far as religion goes, is the Chinese government's not too keen on us going to teach and preach over there. So when you go there, it's difficult. It's the same way with Saudi Arabia. When I went to Saudi Arabia when I was in the army, they told us the chaplains couldn't wear the crosses on the collars. We couldn't have public Bible classes. The government said, nope, You ain't breaking up what we've had going on for thousands of years. So you're not bringing your Christianity over here. So that's kind of what's going on in China. So they don't really have the gospel, but they have this language, these written things with these symbols. Let's see what else we have. Forbidden. So when they see that little symbol there, that means forbidden. Verse 16 of Genesis chapter 2 says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of it, therefore thou shalt surely die. Forbidden. So when they see that symbol, that means something's forbidden. Again, this symbol has different components to it. So these little X's to the far left are trees, and you'll see that on the top. Trees or a forest, or maybe a garden, plus commandment, which is the thing on the far right. So forest, trees, commandment, all that combined to them means forbidden. So where would they get an idea about some trees and a commandment? Maybe because that's what happened at the beginning of time, when God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree. They were forbidden and could not do that. So again, their symbol, two trees and a commandment. Interesting. Desire, covet. When they see that, that means something. So does anybody recognize anything from this symbol? Trees at the top. So let's read about this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So we see we have some trees at the top of this symbol and something at the bottom. Anybody want to guess what that something might be at the bottom? Woman. Trees and woman combined means desire or covet. Interesting. Again, most of the people in China don't know the gospel. They don't know anything about the Bible. And when they are brought this information, they have some reactions. Because when they hear these stories, and then they think about their symbol, yeah, you're talking about Adam and Eve and the tree, and she ate, and well, that's our symbol for desire. It goes on. Hide. That's their symbol for hide. We're going to play hide and seek. We're going to run around and hide from one another, try to find each other. Genesis 3 and 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Do we see a tree in that symbol there? See at the bottom right corner of that symbol? Looks like another tree. So the left part of the symbol means body. That little arch thing means several. And then there's trees. Bodies hidden among trees. That's their symbol, their thought behind the word hide. What is it about all these trees in their language, in their written language? Well, to me, it's all going back to the Garden of Eden. Sweat. Genesis 3, again. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Thou shalt return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So he's going to work by the sweat of his face. So sweat, in my mind, is a simple term for us. It's sweat. Look how complicated that symbol is. There's a whole lot of things in the symbol. So, the first part of that means sent out. Second half means offender. And then there at the end of that means water. So somebody was an offender that was sent out, and then something happened with water. Where would that come from? Probably from this verse here. He was sent out from the garden, and he had to work by the sweat of his brow. And it's all in the Chinese language. So think about our crime again. They built this tower. God placed upon all these people all these different languages. They scattered. And some probably never, these people that actually there never probably saw each other ever again. And some of those civilizations still might have issues even today coming together. But they carried with them these languages, these thoughts, these things they wrote from that day. Now, if you do a study in language, I took some course about languages, and they went back and traced this language, broke off from that one, and this and this, and they had all this stuff and 1770, whatever, they start doing this and that. It all happened in one day. God said there's going to be different languages. Boom. And there it was. Destroy. Anything look familiar in this symbol? See the water on the end of that one? Got water in the front of this one. So in Genesis chapter 6, says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So God determined he was going to destroy the earth. So their thought of destroy means put together is water and moreover, or completely. Water completely. And that put together for them is destroy. Interesting that destroy didn't have anything to do with fire, didn't have anything to do with arrows or spears or any other weapon. It was determined that for them, destroy has something to do with water. Interesting. Ship or a vessel. Genesis 6, Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And in Hebrews we read, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So a ship or a vessel. So the far left part of that symbol means a ship. The middle of that means eight, and that bottom thing on the far right corner means people. So a ship, eight people. Where would that come from? Noah's Ark. So eight people on that boat that were saved. Again, just some clues. Tower. This is their symbol for tower. We've read this before. They said to one another, let us make brick and burn thoroughly, that they made brick and stone and lime for mortar. They said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven. Let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. So how did they make brick back then? Use dirt, mud. What did the Israelites try to use, or what did they use to make their bricks when they were making them for the Egyptians? They weren't given at one point. Straw. So we have tower means dust, dirt, plus grass, plus people, plus one, and in that little thing at the end, mouth. So there was dust, grass, people with one mouth, one language. That means tower. Where would we have seen that before? Tower of Babel. So the interesting thing is when people go over, when we send people over to China and we try to convert them and talk to them about the Bible, and they start hearing these stories, they kind of go, wait a minute, tower. This tower means dust and grass and language and And it kind of clicks for them. And we'll have a little bit more evidence on that too. Confusion. Let us go down, therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city, because there was confusion. Confusion, tongue, and mystery. And they talk about confusion when they see that symbol. Those two thoughts, tongue and mystery, are connected. Migrate. So we have a big problem with migration today. Immigration. Illegal immigrants, which means people are moving from one place to another. So this is their symbol for migrate. And again, verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. So they all dispersed. They migrated. They moved to different places. That T-looking thing is thousands. That L-looking thing means walking. Thousands walking. So when God confounded their language, they all just walked. They just went different places. Thousands walking. That's their symbol for migrating. So, again, I've talked to, and I wanted to verify that this was real. So our preacher in Bloomington, his name's Craig Thomas, he and I were talking about this. And he said, yeah, Al, I've talked to some people that have gone to China. And as they were talking to these stories, you could just see their eyes light up, and they kind of finish the stories as they're talking because of these symbols, of their thought processes, these things that mean different things to them, such as migrate, such as tower. When they break those symbols apart, they match these stories that we're telling. So to me, that is a big clue that God has given us. And what did they ask of Jesus back when he was here? Let's look in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. So we are at a point in the scriptures where Jesus says, he's walked on water. He's healed thousands. He's preached. Thousands have been healed. People that were deaf or couldn't walk, those things were healed. And what did they ask for in Mark chapter 8, verse 11? And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him, a sign from heaven, tempting him. So all these things Jesus has done, he's healed people, he's raised people from the dead, he's walked on water, and he's done all these things. And they said, can you give us a sign? I mean, show us something. And look at Jesus' reaction. And he sighed deeply within his spirit. Done all these things, and you still don't see it. He goes on and says, why did this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And people today are looking for signs. Well, when is he coming back? When is this going to happen? Well, a big sign and a big thing is the Bible. We have this. But these other things, just like we've gone over, to me are more signs, more clues. And I've just given you a few dealing with the Chinese language. There's a whole host of different phrases, symbols that mean different things that you could pull right out from the scripture. I think God is telling us something. I don't think this was an accident. To me, this was totally intentional, that these things are evident in the Chinese language. So, again, God and the Chinese characters, I think God has shown his power and grace, his power and greatness in obvious ways. Just looking at creation, there's been a big debate here this year. There was a big thing with Bill Nye, the science guy. He's a creationist. He debated one of the prominent people who's into creationism. And the thing that the creationists always say about people that believe in the evolutionists, they always say about people that believe in creation, they call us stupid. You guys don't make any sense. That's unbelievable. And they call us names. It's documented. You guys are just quacks, and you're just this and that. They call us names and just make fun of us because we know the truth. That if they were just to look at these signs, I think that would help their point of view. God has given us links to these things that have happened in history. And the big thing, God's not going to force us to believe. He's not going to force evolutionists to believe. He's not going to force anything. He's not going to force you to come to church. He's not going to force you to study. He's not going to force us to do anything. He's just going to show us these things and allow us to make those choices, make our own decisions. And he's given us everything that we need for salvation. So I hope that this was interesting to you, because when I first heard it, I was just amazed. And I got on the internet and was trying to make sure that this was factual. When I talked to Brother Thomas at church, he said, yeah, I've got some preacher friends that went to China. And it's true. That when they talk to these stories, they just are amazed. Wow, this tower thing is something that we have in our language. And this thing about migration is something that we have in our language. So to me, these things are good evidence that God is true, God exists, and God has a plan for us and has things for us to do. So if there are those that are subject to the invitation this morning that need to become members of the body of Christ, now is an opportunity to do so. Again, we have signs, we have information from God directly, and we can choose to ignore or we can obey as He wants us to do. So if there are those that are subject to the invitation in any way that would like to become a member of the body of Christ, or if there are those that like to ask for prayer or assistance from the group, now is a great opportunity to do so as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.